If you want to, just turn to Matthew 28. We're right at the very end of Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We call it the Great Commission. And we've got a slide we'll start with in a minute. But if you remember, we talked about in this whole study that there were three aspects. The authority is Christ. The commission was to make disciples. And the comfort was that Jesus was with us. We talked about the authority, how he had all authority in heaven and earth. We talked about the commission. What's the only command in Matthew 28, 18 through 20? What is it? There's only one command, and that is to what? Make disciples. He said, now you do it in three ways. As you are going, as you are baptizing, as you are teaching. We spent some time on that. We talked about as you are going because we realized that seems to me that the church historically has it backwards. They think that we're trying to get the unbelievers to come in here where the Bible actually says as you are going, as we're going out to them. And we talked about it several weeks ago that for some reason we want unbelievers to get up when they don't want to get up and come to a place they don't want to come and hear something they don't want to hear. And somehow we think that's evangelism when the bottom line is we spread out in the community with our gifts, talents, and abilities and our lives and our message. And they, you know, that's how we share our faith. We said, as you're going, as you're baptizing, which we said was identifying them with Jesus Christ, identifying them with a local body, and then teaching them to observe all which he'd commanded. We teach people the Word of God. We are on the very final, the next to the last page. The last page, I think, is the applications. The next to the last page is the comfort. I think we got to that last week, didn't we? Did we get the comfort? We did. And when you think about the comfort, let me just get over there just to remind you. The comfort is that he is with us always. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And there's our slide. And you think about it, that when we go out this door and we start saying things like, you know what, I'm the representative of Christ. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm supposed to go out. I'm supposed to make disciples, lead people to Christ, identify them with Jesus Christ, and then train them and equip them. It's kind of a scary task. In fact, it cannot be done in your power. We know that. We can't do it at all. In fact, as this next slide says, he is the power because apart from him, we can do what? Absolutely nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things. And so, bottom line, we go out this door, realize it's his power through us and his strength through us. But when we can go with the comfort of knowing that he's with us. He's with us always, even to the end of the age. He'll never leave us or forsake us. What should we fear? So there's some great things there. So in summary of this, the passage, Matthew 28:18-20, the authority, of course, we go with the authority of Christ. The commission is to make disciples as we're going, baptizing, teaching, and the comfort that he is with us even to the end of the age. So as we look at this study, and we're fixing to get lesson two. I just wanted to finish lesson one because we just didn't get to the end of it last time. We want to not just live a life. We want to leave a legacy. That is the key, y'all. That's the thing. You don't want to just have lived. You don't want to just say that person was here. You want to say that person impacted other lives. You want your life that the people to say, what a legacy. That's our goal and our purpose, to live for Jesus Christ. We are his ambassadors. We have the authority, which is his authority. We have the commission to make disciples. And we have the comfort that he is with us. So let me give you the applications for part one. Let us understand God's purpose for our lives. That's the first application. And let me flip over here so I can look at this. Let's understand, number one is just let's understand God's purpose for our lives. And that is to be like Christ, to be ambassadors, to grow, to make an impact, to leave a legacy. And the bottom line is to make disciples. That's what it is. That's the purpose. So understand God's purpose for our lives, and that's to live for him, to be ambassadors, to leave a legacy, to make disciples. So that's number two. It actually comes in there. Understand our purpose. Our goal is to make disciples. And we've got some things there. We go in Christ's authority. That's how we go. We go in Christ's authority. I hope everybody sees where we are, right? Okay, because we're on the last page of the very first handout, and it says, go in Christ's authority, and then we'll lead people to what? To Christ, to identify them, to baptize them, and then we are to teach all he has commanded, and we're to take what we've been taught and pass that on. The goal is not just to make believers. The goal is to make disciples, which is evangelism and training, and then the fact is we rest in the fact that God is with us. He's with us always. And so, that's a great start as we think about making an impact, making a difference for Christ. We realize we have a commission, and that is to make disciples. The authority is Christ, so we go in his authority. We're to go making disciples as we're going baptizing and teaching, and the comfort is the fact that He is with us. So there's a lot there. Any questions or anything before we move to the second study, really, to the part two, which is going to get into some more details on this sort of thing, which dealing basically with the evangelism part. So any questions or comments or anything just on the first part about our commission to make disciples as we're going baptizing, teaching, the comfort, the authority? Any questions, input, anything on that? We spent several weeks. Okay, you should have lesson two. Let's pull that out. Lesson two, which is, it's got at the top, making a difference, and it's evangelism. And we'll need to talk about that. And the bottom line is, go ahead and do this. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to actually look at a different place on emphasis. Colossians chapter 3. I'll give everybody just a little bit to get over there. It's not quite as easy to find. Not as easy to find as Romans or Acts or maybe the Gospels. It's Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. One of the prison epistles by Paul. But in this passage, we're going to see an aspect of evangelism. Because making a difference, evangelism part two, that's what we're talking about today. Because part one was the whole commission. But you know, the commission is to make disciples, which is two parts, evangelism and training. So this second lesson is the whole issue of evangelism. So turning your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, we're going to talk about how to make a difference for Christ. That's the thing. We want to continue to see these truths that we saw. As I mentioned earlier, we want to live, not just live a life, we want to leave a legacy. The four keys, the four things, and here they are. Remember them. This was in the first lesson. The first is the commission. That's God's purpose to make disciples. The second thing is going to be evangelism. And that's touching others for Christ. This is the four key areas in which we're going to make an impact for Christ and leave a legacy. A commission, evangelism. The third one is the training. That's becoming different. That's making disciples. And that's the key, because the commission is to make disciples, which is evangelism and training. And that's why those next two lessons all tie together, touching lives for Christ and then training them, becoming different, helping in discipleship. And then the last area that we saw was the whole charge to making a difference now. And that last lesson, I'm going to talk about five areas in which we can emphasize when we think, okay, I want to make a difference for Christ. I want to be an example for Christ. I want to make an impact for Christ right now. I think one of the things that, you know, I've been thinking of this week especially is, you know, how do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? Because we want not just to have lived. We want to leave a legacy. We want our lives to touch other lives in such a way that people say, wow, that person, this is what they were like. Well, we saw in the first session, the goal and purpose to fulfill God's commission. And let me just remind you that I think we've got the commission was to make disciples. And you remember the three parts, we just studied it. It was the authority of Christ, the commission to make disciples, and the comfort that Christ is with us. Now, when you think about making disciples, we said it over and over, but it's twofold. Evangelism and training. So for this lesson, we're going to focus on evangelism. The next lesson, if you would go back just to that slide right before it. Yeah, on this lesson, we're going to focus on evangelism. That's dealing with sharing our faith and some keys from the Colossians about it. And then the next lesson will be on training. And we're going to talk about how are we trained? What do we have to do to get ready so that we can train other people? It's powerful. Well, with that in mind, let's focus on evangelism. And I think the next slide, this twofold aspect here at evangelism, we're going to look at four keys from Colossians. And I think it's very, very powerful. Let me tell you a story. Before I went to seminary, I was coaching at Mississippi State. I resigned from Mississippi State. I went to work for a State Farm agent. I'd never done anything like that. But he was a great guy, and he knew that the plan was probably within less than a year I was going to go on to Dallas Seminary. And he was so great. He said, you can work for me, and when time comes for you to go to seminary, you just go to seminary. And I said, okay. He was so good. And there was a girl working in our office at that time. She was a student at Mississippi State, and she just came in to do part-time. And one day we were talking, and we were talking about spiritual things, and she said, well, I'm a Christian. And I said, well, that's great. And I said, do you find it hard to share your faith on campus? Of course, you got to remember, this is back 1980, 81. And I said, do you find it hard to share your faith on campus? And she said this. She said, I don't have to tell others about Jesus. My lifestyle is enough. They'll know about Jesus just by the way I live. And the question I want to ask you, is that true? Can people know about Jesus for salvation by the way we live? You know, a believer's life may be joy and righteousness, and we may live godly lives. Is that enough for a person to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior? The answer is no. People can never be saved by a lifestyle. They may see our joy. They may see that we're different. They may even think we're religious. But that's not going to save them. They must hear the gospel, the message of salvation. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the what? The Word of God. So the Word of God, the truths, the gospel message, the truth of Christ, the salvation issue, all of that, people have to hear the message. They have to know it. They have to hear it so they can believe the message. Peter writes and talks about ministry, and he says that it was by his hand that they were to hear the message and believe. Paul said the same thing. Basically, he said that God sent him out to the Gentiles that they would hear the message and believe. So it's not just enough for us to say, I'm going to live a good life and people will know about Jesus. It takes the message and the lifestyle. Because let me tell you, if you got the message but not the lifestyle, what happens? They don't what? They don't listen to you. Listen, you may say, I got the message, but you don't live the lifestyle. They're going to go, you're no what? You're no different than I am. Why would I want what you got if you're not any different than me? You have to have the lifestyle and the message. Yes. Oh, exactly. That's a great point. I don't know if y'all could hear him, but he said, if somebody said lifestyle's the way, then who lived the most perfect lifestyle of all? Jesus Christ. And yet we even see in the passage this morning, if you've been to church already, Jesus is in the temple teaching and proclaiming the gospel. So if lifestyle was enough, and Jesus was the only one who lived the perfect lifestyle, then he wouldn't even have to present the gospel, but he did. Lifestyle's not enough. You have to hear the message and believe. And so I think it's really powerful. You have to have both, the lifestyle and the message. The lifestyle without the message, they'll never know. The message without the lifestyle, they won't listen. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in what? Word or deed. It's both. What you say and how you live. He says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. So if you're in Colossians chapter 4, some of your Bibles like mine, chapter 3 is also on the same page as chapter 4. And so I can look at verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. In your words or your deeds. As we continue, as we think about sharing our faith, I want to give you four things from Colossians 4. Four things that helps us when we think about evangelism, when we think about sharing our faith. It deals with the message and the lifestyle. If we do the four things that are mentioned by Paul in Colossians chapter 4, I think we'll be able to make a difference, especially when we think about sharing our faith. I think we'll be effective in sharing our faith. Look, first of all, and I think at Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul reminds believers to be praying. Look at chapter 4. Verse 2, this starts a section. Now, verse 1, he's talking about a flow of living and what, you know, how what wives do and what husbands do and children do and slaves do and masters do. And then in verse 2, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. That his overall view, it says, listen, as people, we need to be people of prayer. And no matter what we're doing, whether we're talking about evangelism, or we're talking about training, or we're talking about lifestyle, or anything, prayer is the key. Because prayer is where we maintain our fellowship with God. Prayer is where we talk to our Savior. Prayer is that key. And let me tell you, in our lives, you can say this, I can say this, I notice that I'm not doing good when I'm not praying, right? When I'm not maintaining my fellowship with my Savior, I'm not doing very good. And you probably would say the same thing. So that's why it's so important. Now, from this, we're going to see the first of the four key things. Okay, here's the first one. Pray for opportunities to share our faith. Now, if we want to be effective in evangelism. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you in this room, I want you to raise your hand on this one. How many of you in this room believe it's your responsibility to share your faith? Okay. Now, don't raise your hand on this one. How many of you are afraid to share your faith and know that it's a tension thing and you don't look forward to the opportunities, and whenever an opportunity comes, it's scary? Don't raise your hand. But isn't that true? It's true. You know why? Because it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. You can know the gospel. You can know the stuff. You can be ready to go. You can practice sharing your faith. And every time the opportunity comes, there's going to be a little tension there because you're in a spiritual battle and you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities. It is a spiritual battle. And so if you say, I'll feel comfortable, one of these days I'm going to feel comfortable sharing my faith, and when I do, I'll do that, you may never feel comfortable sharing your faith. Because it's a spiritual battle. And if we said right now, okay, here's what I'd like to get four people, three people, me, somebody else, and then two others, four of us are going to go out, we're going to get in my car, we're going to drive around to the new neighborhood right up the street, and we're going to get out and we're just going to go knock on doors. Who wants to do that? We're going to go knock on some doors, and when they open the door, we're going to say, we're from Countryside, we'd like to talk to you, we'd like to talk to you about some spiritual things. How many want to go do that? Most people go, well, go have fun. You know, you go, I'll just stay here and pray for you, right? Okay. See, when we start talking about sharing our faith, we all get a little bit scared. Now, we're all scared too when you say, would you like to teach this study? Would you like to put together a message and talk? And people say, do I have to get up in front of people? Well, if they're going to hear you, you're probably going to have to get up in front of them. Yeah. You know, so there are a lot of things that we do that take us right out of our comfort zone. One of them is sharing our faith. So the first thing that Paul says when he says this, let's pray for opportunities to share our faith. Notice what he says. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word. Then when he says open up a door for the word, literally he's talking about pray for the opportunities. He's saying pray that God will open up opportunities for you to share your faith. Now, let's be honest. You're not going to pray for opportunities to share your faith until you think you're ready to share your faith. That's why we have the 412 and some the 2-2 and small group studies and things like that, where you can be taught different ways to share your faith so you can feel comfortable. We have a way we call bad news, good news. We have a way that we call sin, salvation. We have a way called the bridge. There's even one that we just say, just take the verse, John 3:16. We can show you how to share your faith just using one verse. And it's a verse that you already know, John 3:16, so that you can be confident. So right now what you do is say this. If you do not feel confident that if somebody came to you and went, will you tell me how to go to heaven? If you say, okay, sit right there. If you don't feel confident that you could tell them from the scripture how they could have eternal life, then this week you need to either call me or you need to get with somebody that you know knows and say, show me, make sure I understand a good method, a good way that I can share my faith so I would be confident that when an opportunity came, I would know what to say, I would know the verses to go to, I would just be able to take John 3:16. So if you're not confident, you call me. I'll either get with you one-on-one and show you very simply a couple of methods, or I'll point you to some people who can show you the same thing, or we'll talk about getting in one of those 412s where three or four of the lessons in the 412 talk about how to share your faith and those kind of things, what's the gospel, how to present the gospel, assurance, all those kind of things. So when you say, I want to be praying, if you're going to be effective in evangelism, and remember, it says, here's the Great Commission, as you are going, as you are baptizing, which means identifying them with Christ. That's leading them to Christ and identifying. If you're going to be praying for that part, because that's part of the responsibility, you have to be ready. So the first thing that Paul says, pray that the door will be open, that we may speak a word, that we may be ready. So the first key to all evangelism is prayer. We pray for the opportunities to share. Let me tell you something, and this is the truth. If you were to sit down and go home and say and think of 10 people that you don't know whether they're Christians or not, 5 people, 1 person, doesn't matter how many, and you say, Lord, I pray that you'll give me an opportunity to talk to this person about Christ. Guess what? You better be ready. Because opportunities are going to come. There are opportunities every day. Now, what we do most of the time is we just ignore them. We just go past them. We're not thinking about them. We're not looking for those opportunities. We're not even thinking about them. We're seeing people and go, hey, how you doing? Good ball game. Wasn't it a great ball game? Yeah, that's great. Well, that's it. That's what we're thinking about. But if we go through life saying, Lord, give me opportunities. I know it's scary. I know it's out of the comfort zone. I know that deep down we don't really want to. I mean, we want to, but we don't want to. Because it's a scary thing. But if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, if we're going to have a life that is more than lived but leaves a legacy, then we're going to have to fulfill the Great Commission, which is evangelism and training. And this is the evangelism part. And if we're going to be effective in evangelism, we've got to do what Paul said. Paul said, pray at the same time for us as well that God would open up to us a door for the Word. Now, where is Paul? Do anybody know where Paul is when he writes this? He's in prison. You notice he didn't say, pray that I'll get out of prison. He didn't even say that. He's saying, pray that God will open the door that I might share the Word. What, that bell? I know it. That's ridiculous. Anyway, we'll be through in a minute. All right, we got 5 minutes. We do have 5 minutes. There's no telling how much we can cover in 5 minutes. Then again, maybe not. But anyway, okay, pray that, here's what I thought about. Here's Paul in prison. What's the first thing that people might want to say? Don't you want to get out? Yeah, let's pray that I get out. But he's not praying that he gets out. He's praying that the door will be open. The door will be open. Now, where was Paul when this was written? Do you know? Where was he when he wrote these prison epistles? He wrote 4 of them. He was in Rome in prison, and he was chained to a Roman. He was in house arrest. He was chained to a Roman soldier. Most Roman soldiers' guards either were 6 hours or 12 hours. So guess who was chained to Paul for either 6 hours or 12 hours all day long? Yeah, what do you think Paul did? How you doing? I like your armor. It's good-looking armor. In fact, when I write the letter to the Ephesians, I'm going to use your armor. I'm going to say breastplate of righteousness, helmet of this. I'm going to use your armor. By the way, let me talk to you about something. Where's the guy going to go? Right? See, we think Paul's chained to him. Guess what? He's chained to Paul. And did you know that he writes that a great number of these praetorium guards came to know Christ? He says, pray that the door will be open. Pray that I'll have opportunities to share my faith. And what you could say is, where you work, and your next door neighbor, people in your family, people you play games with and do stuff with and all of the things, pray that God will use you, open a door, that you might have an opportunity to talk to that person about Jesus Christ. He says, pray at the same time for us as well that God will open up to us a door for the Word. You never know. I've told y'all this story, but I used to fly back and forth when I was at Dallas Seminary. In my last 2 years at seminary, I worked at Faith Covenant Church in Borger. So every Friday, I would get on the airplane, fly to Amarillo, drive to Borger. Then on every Monday, drive back to Amarillo, fly back into Dallas. So I did that for 2 years. And so every Friday and every Monday, I was on a plane. Sometimes I was tired. I didn't want to do anything. Sometimes I wanted to. And I remember one time I particularly said, Lord, if you would, I would love an opportunity to, just talk to somebody about Jesus. And I got on, and I was in between 2 girls, and they started talking back and forth, and one of them plainly, I've told y'all this story before, this girl looked at me, and she said she'd heard about, because this other girl was telling me that she'd gone to this meeting, and people had come down to the front to be saved. That's what she was saying to me. The other girl was listening, and she tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, I've heard all this before. Would you mind telling me how a person can be saved? Now, that's pretty plain, and I mean, that's pretty plain and easy. I went, I think I could. Yes, I could. And so sometimes you pray for things and it just happens, just like you think, wow, I prayed for that. So think about the people. You might even sit down and write down the names of some people that you don't know, whether you know they're not a Christian or you don't know whether they're a Christian, and say, Lord, give me an opportunity. Notice what he says, pray at the same time for us as well that God will open up to us the door so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. What is the mystery of Christ? You know what it is? It's that God loved world, God gave his Son, and the mystery is, it's faith alone in Christ alone. See, because what does everybody think it is? Do good. Every religion in the world has people doing something to get to God, except true Christianity, and the mystery of Christ is that Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, and it's not anything that you do that saves you, it is faith alone in Christ alone. That's it. That's the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through what? Faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. You talk to the average person who doesn't know anything about all this, and they'll say, well, you have to try to live a good life. No, no, no. It's not of yourselves. See, the mystery, it's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's not a works lest anyone should boast. It's so powerful. You know, without knowing truth, we'll always think the same thing. I always thought it's more good than bad, the big scales. I'm going to stand before God. If I did more good than bad, I'll go to heaven. If I did more bad than good, I won't go to heaven. That's what I thought. When I heard the truth, it was amazing to me. I said, you're telling me that all the good that I've ever done can't count at all? No. Was the wages of sin is what? I said, okay, you said death. Yeah, I thought it was good works. Now the Bible, look, read the Bible. Oh, okay. Okay, so the wages of sin is death. I thought it was good works. And then Jesus died for me, and he gives me eternal life as a gift. What do I have to do for it? What can I do for it? Can't do anything for it, because if you do anything for it, it's no longer what? It's no longer a gift. The mystery of Christ is that God has a gift for mankind. Faith alone in Christ alone. You and I get to tell people that salvation is a gift. What is the response oftentimes when you talk to people and you tell them it is simply faith alone in Christ alone for eternal life? What do they say? It's too easy. That's not enough. There's got to be more to it. Why? Because, see, they've heard all their lives what? That is what you do. Is it fair that any human being goes to heaven? No. It's grace. It's not fair that any of us go. You do not want the mercy of God. You do not want the justice of God. You want the grace and the mercy of God. Because if you get the justice of God, you'll be separated forever. God poured out his justice on who? On Jesus. That's what he poured out the justice on. That's why he's called the just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. God poured out his wrath, his just, the penalty of sin on who? Jesus. He's your substitute. He took your place. We're supposed to die. Jesus said, I'll take their place. And we go, thank you very much. I don't want to die. I don't want to be separated from God. All who believe have eternal life. So the very first thing is pray for opportunities. Now, the second one, let me just mention it and we'll come back. The second one is going to make the message clear. We're going to talk about that next time. Go back to the first one again for just a second, the next slide. But yeah, look, pray for these opportunities. So here's what I want you to do. You got two things. Number one, if you do not feel confident that if the opportunity came, that you would be able to tell someone, then call me. And we'll make sure that you're confident. In fact, if it's a bunch of you that says we're not confident, I don't know what we'll do. We may have to have a special class just to make sure we're confident. But anyway, if you're not confident, let me know, because you need to begin to say, I'm going to start praying for the opportunities to share my faith. That's the only way it's going to happen. Okay? All right, that's second, Bill. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you, Lord, as we think about sharing our faith. And the very first thing is to pray for the opportunities, that the door would be open, that we'd have an opportunity to speak forth the mysteries of Christ. Lord, I just pray that in this week, all of us who are ready, that you will use us to share our faith, that the opportunity may come where we can clearly tell someone how they can have eternal life. And so, Lord, I pray that we will be praying, we'll be thinking of names, we'll be thinking of people, we'll be writing things down so that we'll have the opportunity to pray daily that you would open the door, that we might have the opportunity to share our faith. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.